Welcome everybody to another episode of TBNP. I'm one of your hosts, I'm Ryan, and I'm joined by my fellow host, my boy Ruben.
What's up, y'all?
And my boy Mo.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
And welcome to February, everybody. So I'm going to give you a little rundown of as far as the month, and then I'll tell you what the show is going to be about, and then the format of the show, and we'll go from there. So basically, the boys, you know, they gave me a little more freedom this month as far as the month of February. So generous of these guys. It is Black History Month, so we're going to dedicate, I know for sure, this episode, and then maybe another to that. And we're also going to do a few episodes as far as like, because everybody know it's the month of love. Yeah, you know, all y'all saps out there, all y'all couples and whatnot. You know, y'all booed up. So we got a couple of things to say about that as single bachelors. We got some things to say. So just all I'm going to say is stay tuned to the month of February.
That's right.
To the Blasphemous Boys. We got some things to say. As far as this episode in particular, we decided that we're going to dedicate this one to some highly acclaimed like African-American movies, I guess. That's a pretty much good way to summarize it. So we each watched a movie, and we're going to do our normal format. We're going to give our rating for it, and then we're going to, you know, say what we liked and didn't like about the movie. And first, we're going to start off with some news. Per usual, I will go first.
Go ahead, bro.
So, I don't know if you guys watched the House of the Dragon. I don't know if you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so the actress that portrayed Rhaenyra Targaryen, her real name is Millie Alcock. Now,
Come again.
Mm-hmm. You heard me right. All cock.
Oh, hello.
Well, I'm sure it's not pronounced.
I like how you enunciate.
All of it. Every inch.
Every hole.
Okay, we're getting off topic.
Yeah, okay. All right, go ahead. Go ahead, Ryan.
Anyway, she has officially joined the DCEU as...
Oh.
Anybody want to...
Gamble, Supergirl?
You damn right.
Hey, I seen the picture. I seen her, and she's like, I'm like, I can see that. She kind of looks like a more innocent, but then maybe she got like something deeper inside of her, Supergirl type. Because Supergirl is kind of like that. She got that soft touch, but if you piss her off, you got hands.
And that's what James Gunn is going for in his movie universe for her character. So. They off that they did the casting right, but here's my issue. I don't know what her American accent sounds like. So
I'm gonna be honest. I don't think it's that hard to do an American accent, brother.
Most British people get our accents down pretty good.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't know. Yeah. That's my only worry right now.
Right.
As far as I had to look, her acting skills, and like I said, all I have to go off of is the House of the Dragon. So
right.
I don't have much, but her partner was good. So. You know, I'm optimistic for that.
It is to be seen.
Yeah. TBD. Yep. My next piece of news is that we do have an official title for the Beetlejuice sequel.
Hey.
Now, one of these guys I follow on social media said, why won't they call this movie like Beetlejuice, and then call the third one Beetlejuice? Now, I don't know if the name of the movie was influenced by Old Boy. But this is the official title of the sequel. It's called Beetlejuice. If that's not the dopest, like,
that sounds cool.
Super cool, man. Because if they do get a third movie, come on, man.
That's what it is.
That's what it is. Play on words, bro.
That'd be perfect. So, and then the official release date for that is September 6th of this year. So,
a day before my birthday. So,
I already know what we're doing. So, I'm pretty sure I don't even got to say it. So, y'all stay tuned for the review of that. Stay tuned. And then my last piece of news is that you remember that time with this actor, his name is Jim Carrey. Remember he was like, hey, you know what? After this Sonic 2, I'm good. I'm gonna stop acting. He tapped out. Well, guess what? Guess what, fellas, listeners? My boy lied. Either he lied or money talks, because guess what?
That's what
He is Tree back for Sonic 3. Yeah. So, Mr. Jim Carrey, I don't know. I'm curious to see what brought you out of retirement. I want to see your bank account. Because I got a feeling that Ryan, a couple of zeros can draw you out of retirement. Oh, yeah. You feel me?
I was going to say the Illuminati got him back.
Yeah. Throw that money at him and he back. Yeah, but that's my little news for the week. Mo, what you got?
All right. So for me, I actually got a couple movie news. My first one is Sasquatch Sunset. I don't know if you heard of that one, Ryan.
I did. I did. I saw. Well, right. I didn't hear of it, but I saw a score of it on IGN.
It got a 10.
It got a masterpiece on IGN. What? Yes.
Calling it a very good film, something that maybe we'd all want to check out. I definitely check it out. I'm a big fan of like the monsters and all that shit.
Sasquatch, do they talk?
Yeah, they gave it a 10.
If it's just Jimmy Moting, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know.
Yeah. Shoot, I haven't seen too many Sasquatch.
I haven't seen any trailer for it. I don't really know the basis of the story. So
Maybe that's good. Maybe that's good that they don't tell you nothing.
Going wrong?
Yeah, you go in there? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I'm going with no expectations and just go in, just they're blindsided.
Yeah.
And see what it is.
All right. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be on our watch list this year. So stay tuned for that then.
And then another bit of news, movie news. On April 18, 2025, the Michael Jackson biopic will hit the screens with Jafar Jackson, his nephew.
We saw that. And there's more casting news for that as well. Oh. I believe, I want to say, what's her name? Come on, Ryan. Nia Long, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that's the mom, and then they got the dad too, right?
And then, what's his name, the actor?
Yeah, I can't think of
him. I can't think of his name, man.
You good.
No, he good.
Yeah, I
know who it is. I can't recall his name. Mm-hmm. I feel bad. But dude is legit. So something Coleman, I believe. I could be wrong. Let me stop. But yeah, the cast is looking good. So we'll see where they go from there.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then the last one that I have is another little bit of movie news. This one's on Madam Web. So it comes from Cave Comic. And supposedly they're saying it's set to be the worst performing Spider-Man film ever.
Well,
who knows? You know, it's just,
But let's be honest here. Because it very well might be. But here's the thing. It's like he's not even like a character in the movie. So is it fair to even say that? It's
standalone film.
Because they didn't say that about Venom. They didn't say, this movie, I mean, I guess it had a bigger hype because it's Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
But, you know, there wouldn't be no Spider-Man without Madam Web. So I don't know, man. I got a different opinion about everything everybody feeling about this movie.
Like, bro,
I'm at least going to give it a chance, but it's not everybody just hoping for it. What's going on with the fans? What's wrong with y'all? Like, why do you want movies to fail? Like, I don't get it.
It's kind of like the Marvels, bro. Remember, people were trashing it so much, but we wouldn't go see it. We didn't think it was that bad.
Yeah.
But it got so much hate, though. Like,
I don't understand.
What is people watching? I don't know.
I mean, obviously, we're all watching the same movies. I mean, and we all know the truth is, like, comic book movies aren't the same as it was, like, 10, 15 years ago. We know that.
Right.
But I'm not, if this is a new entry to, like, the franchise, I'm not finna just, Madam Web, I'm cool.
Yeah.
You know, I just won't do that. I'm like, all right, want me to give it a chance. Same thing. I'm pretty sure I said the same thing about the Marvels. Like, I wasn't just going like, hey, this is their first movie.
Right.
Let me see what it do. But like, I don't know. I just think people,
they expect way too much, I think. Yeah. And they just, I don't
know. Not just that, but I think they're too dismissive, you know?
Yeah.
Quick to just judge and.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, that was all the bit of news I got for me. What you got, bro?
Well, the only anime news that I got was something that we talked about this anime Solo Leveling, I believe Ryan had talked about it.
Mm-hmm, I mentioned it.
But it was the first to reach 100,000 likes in the first two episodes. So it's the only anime to do that so far. Not even One Piece could do that. So it's getting very interesting in the sense of like you can feel like it's almost like he's never had a chance in life and now he feels like he can actually do something about like his situation. Cause he's the only reason why he got into these little dungeons and trying to like get money or whatever is to save his mom, trying to get her treatment, whatever. So this dude has a genuine like reason to go in there and fight it out. And he has so much heart. And so now it's paying off. And so now he's finally like the last episode left him with like he's just like ready to go. Like he's not polished. So it's gonna be interesting to see how cool he gets, how strong he gets.
Okay.
But yeah, that's the only anime news. The only thing, other thing, I don't know if you want to talk about it yet or you don't care about.
No, let's do it. State of play, huh?
Mm. State of play, yeah.
Let's talk about the passing.
Yeah. So I don't think that like Sony came with a lot of fire, brother. Because I told you guys earlier that like the only ones that I thought were kind of okay that I might want to play is the Ronin one and that one. I forgot that already. But yeah, those are the only two. Other than that, like I didn't really see anything impressive.
There was a game that something zero something, I forget what it is. It's an RPG that I mentioned on one of our other episodes that I was looking forward to. I think I want to say it was the Game Awards episode.
Oh, okay.
But they did show more footage on that. That's something I'm still interested in. And then the Ronin game, obviously. I think that's clear to say we all are curious about that one. It was one more, but as
did
far
you see
as
the Judas?
I did not see anything on Judas. I did not. But it was one more, and I'm just like
they came out with us. They came out with the Silent Hill 2 parter also.
They did. I wasn't as far as like the mechanics. They just look stiff.
It looks weird.
Yeah,
looks
I don't know. Yeah, like because I mean to be fair, even the original Silent Hill 2 was I think that's a PS. Is that PS1 or PS2?
Uh-huh.
I can't remember. But the game mechanics was different back then. You only can do so much. You only can move in like a set axis.
Right.
So and it feel like the from what I seen from the what the footage they showed from the remake, it looked like they ported that over, which is weird.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm not feeling how it's looking right now. So I'm half and half on that. And I'm a big Silent Hill fan. So that once I saw the footage, I was like, eh. But they did have a free game. Mm-hmm. It's like a free little mini game. I have to download and play it. And that's like a Silent Hill mini game, so that was cool that they just put it out and said you can play it for free. So,
oh nice,
yeah, it's like cool. It was like an add-on.
Yeah,
but no, actually, I remember it's a Death Stranding too. That's the other one.
That was your other game.
Yeah.
Did you play the first one?
No, because I'm too scared of those games. But the second one looks interesting. I might play it. I don't know.
This is not even that scary.
It's not scary, bro.
I don't know, man.
It's supposed to be like
don't let that deter. It's not. I don't think that's what that's. Yeah, there you go, Mo. It's like a more like psychological stuff.
I don't want to have bad dreams, man.
Nah, yeah.
I don't want to have the Ryan nightmares.
Mm-hmm. I'm still here, bro. I'm a little crazy, but you know, I'm still here. You're right. I didn't watch the actual presentation, but I did try to like just see, you know, highlights from it. And yeah, I wasn't really impressed.
I mean, the only good thing is like Rev said, it's a part one of part two, right?
So yeah, they're going to come up with the other half later this month. Yeah. So we'll see. Who knows?
Maybe they're going to release some bangers from the second part.
And this is just maybe like there's a, like, yeah, there you go.
Throw the boo-boo first. You know?
Mm-hmm. Now, the last thing I was going to say, and we want to give a little quick solemn, you know, little rest in peace. Mr. Carl Weathers passed away today. Legend. My favorite movie that I seen in him, because it's iconic, is Predator. When he throws the arm shake with Arnold. When I seen that bicep, like, man. When I seen that, that's what wanted me, like, I would.
Yes.
Bro, that made me want to just.
And bro, it's funny. No idea. It's funny because me and my boys was like on our group chat, you know, I hit them up late, you know, they're like, yeah, we just saw the news, man. Because all of us in this chat are in our like late 30s, early 40s. So we all,
right. This
was our dude, man. Mm-hmm. And that was like, so.
Rocky,
And one of the homies even said like, yeah, man, you seen this dude body. And I was like, bro, when I was a kid, like if I grow up to be like this dude, I'll be the luckiest man in the world. Because that man's body, bro, like no homo, man, but. My man was in like the best shape in the 80s. Like
I know they greased him up, but bam.
There was no black dude like in shape like him in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Like he was just, I think Jim Brown came a close second.
Uh-huh.
But not Jim Brown. It's another guy, I forget his name. But he was just a dude, man. Like I say, my favorite character of his is Action Jackson. I don't think you guys seen that, but you will watch it soon. I'm about to let y'all feast your eyes on, like, I love this movie, man. So it's going to hit a little different now, but
yeah,
man.
For me, man, I love them in I know you probably haven't seen this one, Ryan, but it's a Happy Gilmore.
I knew he was going to say that.
He's good, bro.
I know. But it's just the thing he's in that bothers me. Like, it's just the surrounding, the other stuff that happens. If you could just give me the Carl Weathers cut, I'm good. Just cut out all the Adam Sandler. You let that go. And just give me the Carl Weathers cut. So I don't know who directed Happy Gilmore, but, you know. Hook me up with that Carl Weathers cut. I appreciate you. Yeah, Ruben said, rest in peace, Carl Weathers. We appreciate your contribution to the film industry, to all the young black boys growing up in the 80s. Condolences to your family. Yes, sir. Toast up to my boy real quick.
Toast right here, for sure.
And now let's get into the meat of the episode.
Hey.
It's going from somber to you know, we good.
We got to celebrate.
We're going to be all right. Yeah, it's all gravy. So like I said in the beginning, we all watched the movie. I'm not even actually sure what my boys watched. I kind of remember what Ruben told me. I don't know what Mo said, but nonetheless, we all picked a movie from these are critically acclaimed movies, African-American, like cultured movies. So, I will go. Let's go, Ruben. Let's go, Ruben first, and then I'll go second. We'll let Mo close this out.
Okay. So my movie was Keanu, that little cat movie with Jordan Peele and Keegan-Michael Key. Came out in 2016. It's funny because I was telling Mo that I do remember seeing it, but then like I don't even remember. I didn't even remember it. I mean, I must have been, I don't know, just out of it. But it got a 6.2 out of 10 on IMDb. 78% on Rotten Tomatoes and a 3 out of 5 on Letterboxd. So overall, pretty fair.
Sounds about right. That's about what I remember of it too. I only saw it once, but that's about what I remember. Sounds about right.
Box office, it got 20.7 mil. Budget was 15 mil, so they made a profit, more or less.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Yeah, pretty good. Now, I'm going to start off with just the score. So the direction, I gave it a 1 because in the beginning, it was funny. I thought it was going to be like a okay movie, and then you see the cat come out. And then it's like, it's almost, it takes you the story. I don't know, like the way they made it seem, it was funny because it was almost like a bunch of little storylines, and they all kind of work. I don't know, it's just weird how it just was fluid. Story, originally, I gave it a 1, obviously, because I never seen anything like this. Just pretty out of the box kind of movie. Mm-hmm. Not your standard shit. Performances, I gave it a 1. Keegan and Jordan, they did a good job. And they're playing their counterparts. And they play their counterparts. Everybody, Method Man, Tiffany, Nia Long, you know, all of them. Visuals, I know the cat. I know there was always that. They had that hate. And yeah, you could see it.
Yeah.
So I gave it a 0.5. Because it wasn't too bad. And you didn't see too much of the little cat. I mean... score and design, I gave it a 0.5 because it's like whatever. They had good songs, but not. But overall, my score will be a 4 out of 5.
That's wow. Okay.
Yeah, bro. I didn't think I was going to like it that much. But I enjoyed it a lot. So we start off in the beginning, which I like because it just starts out like these two dudes called the Allen Brothers. They're like their alter ego support, or they're like these dudes that are like ghosts or whatever. But obviously, they're played by Jordan and Keegan. And they're messed up, whatever. But they just go in, just guns blazing. And that's when you see the little cat first. And he's held by this kind of like kingpin of the drugs. The cat runs off. And that's how the show starts. He ends up going into like Rel's house. And it's funny because Rel at that time is going through a breakup. And so this cat comes like at a perfect time. And so he just starts like bonding with him. It's just funny, like, because he'll have him do stuff like he'll put a picture of his ex and he'll have him like scratch the ex picture. So he trained him to do like crazy ass shit.
Okay.
Yeah. Then later on we meet King's character, Clarence. I just like that name too, Clarence, because that just seems such a white name. And it's funny because later on, Rel, which is Jordan, tells Keegan, he's like, you sound like Richard Pryor trying to do an impression of a white man. He's like, what are you talking about? What? And then he was like, bro, like you're making my point. Like it's just funny. Like the way he played him was like is exactly that. Richard Pryor trying to sound like a white dude. Yeah. Like it's funny. So you get the scene where he like Nia Long, his wife, like which by the way,
She's aging like fine wine. Shout out to Nia Long.
Yes. bro. Oh my god, you know I love love me some black women. Anyway, I'm getting a subject here. But anyway, so she ends up going with Spencer, who is kind of like their daughter's kind of friend, whatever, and they kind of do these little trips. And Spencer is played by Rob Hubel, who he comes out in these movies, kind of more or less. And you could tell right away he's up to something because he gives Clarence this kind of look. Because he knows Clarence is a punk. He ain't going to do shit. And his wife tells him, like, bro, you just got to go out and do you. So he ends up meeting up with Rel later on. And they end up going to the movies. And they're watching a Liam Neeson movie. And they're all pumped because it's, I don't know which one it was, but I'm guessing it was either Taken or one of the. Either way, Liam Neeson is always doing these, you know, thriller movies. So they're pumped. And then, you know, kind of Jordan is like trying to get him to like do stuff. They're going to want to go do drugs and whatever. So they get back to Rel's house. Only to find out that he got raided and their cat got stolen. So that's when Rel is like, yo, we got to find our dog. I don't care what happens. So they end up going to this strip club. And that's when they meet Tiffany Haddish, a.k.a. High C. I just love these names, bro. They got this weird High C.
What the heck kind of stripper name is High C?
She's not even a stripper. She's like a thug. She's like, she got cornrows and everything.
Okay, that now it makes more sense now. Because I thought she was...
Yeah. And so then anyways, they want to talk to Cheddar, who's played by Method Man, and because they want to get their cat back because they know he's in there. And it's funny because they're like, oh, what are you guys' name? So then Rel, who's Jordan, tells him, oh, I'm Tectonic. And then Clarence is like, oh, Shark Tank.
What?
Bro, and then they're like, okay, yeah, I don't know. Right. So then they're meeting Cheddar, they seen the cats there. And then Method Man's like, hey, aren't you guys the Allen Brothers? Because they look like him, obviously. So they're like, yeah. And so they say, fuck it. We're going to stick to playing this role that they were the Allen Brothers. So they end up getting recruited to do this job. Because Trevor tells them, like, if you do this job, I'll give you the cat. And we're straight. So they end up doing this heist where they end up going to this mansion. They end up going to, like, Anna Faris' house, ironically. And, like, the real actor, she plays herself in this movie. But she ends up like wanting these drugs. So they go in there. But at the same time, Clarence stays back with the other crew and he starts teaching them about George Michael. And he starts telling them, like, yeah, this dude's crazy. Look into the lyrics and stuff. And then they start opening up to each other. They're like, hey, you know, you guys gotta like, you know, open up to each other and work together. He's like, that's why me and my boy, we work so well together because we communicate, you know? And it's weird because he's talking to these thugs. And he's talking to them about like family, and he's got this jacket on with the pinstripe shirt. It's funny. So anyway, so then like kind of like the deal goes kind of south with Rel and High C because this the Anna Faris starts going crazy, and so then High C starts killing them all. So they run out. They go back. That's when they go back, and then Rel and Clarence tell Cheddar like, "Hey, we did the job. Can we get the cat back?" And he's like, nah, you're going to do one more job. And then Clarence pops up because earlier he got a call from his wife and he told him like, hey, you know, remember Spencer? He kind of made some crazy moves on me. And he's like, what? And at that point, Clarence had already like immersed himself into that role of like, he's a thug.
Yeah.
They had killed people. They done all kinds of shit. So they end up getting the cat and leave instead. Only to get kidnapped by the actual Allen Brothers. So then they're like, oh, fuck, we're going to die. And then the little cat funnily helps Rel escape by scratching. And they end up getting the guns. And it's funny because the real Allen Brothers don't think that the other two are going to shoot them. So they just keep walking forward. And then Clarence shoots them. And then they don't die. So they come back to life. And then Rel shoots him. I don't know. It's weird. It's some fun.
Is it zombies, bro?
Yeah. Comedy, bro. That's comedy. Yeah.
They come back to life.
Yeah.
I don't remember none of this stuff. Like you can tell I've seen this movie once because everything you said sounded like a whole new movie to me. Does not sound familiar, bro. So, over nobody gets shot, come back to life. Yeah, I don't remember Tiffany has thugged out or none of that. So I'm like, damn.
Yeah, listen, I'm gonna tell you that scene when they're in the strip club, they show some titties in there. So if you want, you know,
we're not using.
If you want to go back and watch it,
I don't.
I didn't watch it. That's not why I watched it for. But you know, It's an African American movie, sir. Okay, that's what we're celebrating here.
So we're celebrating titties for Black History Month. Right on.
Black
titties. You're not finna use my ancestors to support your pervery, sir. I'm not finna let you get away with this.
What's wrong? Edit all that out.
Nah, that's what I did, damn it.
Listen here. Anyways, getting me off topic here. They end up meeting Cheddar outside, and Cheddar's like, yo, y'all stole my cat, yada, yada. And they're like, no, we took it back from the Allen Brothers, and we're trying to help you out. And Cheddar's like, whatever. He's like, he took him in. Cheddar ended up turning them in to this like Spanish drug cartel guy called Luis, who is played by I think his name is Luis Guzman. Wait, they call him Bacon. That dude, whatever. So he tells him like, all right, I'll take Clarence and Rel. I'll kill him. And here's your money. Cause he thought that those were the Allen Brothers. Cause remember in the beginning, he killed the drugs, and that's where So Cheddar tells him like, yeah, cool. Here's the guys, give me the money. But then Luis, he's like, or Bacon, he's like, oh, I want the cat too. So that's when Cheddar, he's like, you know what? Fuck this shit, bro. They all want this cat for some reason. You know, this is all about this cat for whatever reason. So they end up going to like a shootout. This, you know, things start blasting, and then Clarence and Rel go chase the cat. They end up getting into this like chase scene where Rel is driving Bacon in the back with the cat while Bacon is trying to shoot him. They end up going to Clarence's house, and they end up crashing there. And then Clarence is behind him, and he ends up running over Bacon because this dude is like indestructible for some reason. Only to get shot by Cheddar. Like, this plot, like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, one thing happens, and then it's like, you think it's over, then boom, another thing happens, and then boom, another thing happens. So, then Cheddar kills Bacon, and he's like, oh, it's over now. He tells Rel and Clarence, it's over for you guys. And then, plot twist, High C is actually an undercover cop this whole time.
Of course she is. Of course she is.
So she's like, Cheddar, put your guns down. And then she starts telling the other dudes, put your guns down. You know, it's over. And then Cheddar, you know, he ain't going out like a bitch, so he's like, fuck that, pop, pop, you know, you get that old scene of like going out and style, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So she shoots him, the cops come, and then High C tells Rel, you know, I actually like you, but you're gonna go to jail, so I'll keep the cat. And then Rel's like, oh yeah, I did kill a lot of people and did a lot of stupid shit. And he's like, yeah, you and Clarence are gonna go to jail. And then I like that scene too, because then Spencer comes back with his wife, and Clarence is already thugged out. He don't give a fuck anymore. He's like, because his wife was telling him, like, you need to get out there and do shit. So he's been waiting for Spencer to come home. So Spencer comes home, the like, hey, man, knocks him out. And then Nia Long tells him, like, I want you now. Because, you know, she grabs him, takes him in, boom, bop. And then you get a scene later on where they're in jail, and they come out, and then Clarence is on the phone in jail talking to his wife, Nia. And then Rel is talking to the cat. And then High C comes and then tells him, like, you know, I'll see you in a bit. Because they're going to, 6 months later after that scene, and they're coming out. And it's funny because everybody's scared of them in jail, everybody, because they know what they've done. So they're walking around like they're the shit already. So wow. They just, you know, and that's kind of how it ends. But yeah, bro, like, I was laughing this whole time.
It sounds to me like, bro, when did you say the kid, 2016?
2016, yeah.
Wow, I don't
like. Bro, I said, other than the graphics of the cat, if you care about that, other than that,
I remember this movie. I mean, you're gonna make me have to watch it again, because I don't, like I said, it was, I didn't really like, it wasn't for me. I watched it because obviously their hype was real with the show.
I'm gonna be honest, yeah. It seemed like a longer version of their skit.
I was just about you just read exactly what I was about to say. It seems like, yeah, to me that was a extended skit.
Yep.
From Key and Peele.
Yep.
So, like I said, yeah, I guess, I don't know. It, like I said, I saw it once. I was like, okay, I guess it's okay. I didn't, like, if even now, like, before I even watch it again, if I had to rate it just off of what I remember, I would give it a 2.5. Like, it was all right for me, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But, I don't know. I guess I had to watch it again. I don't remember all that, man.
Okay, well, but based on what I told you, what do you think, what would you give it then?
Yeah, I mean, I saw a little bit, so honestly. Okay. Probably the same score as Ryan, probably
2.5. Okay. If I were to just, you know, theoretically calculate this, it would be like a 3.
Mm.
Which is pretty much what the consensus was when you told
us. That's true. Yeah, average.
So we are men of the people, basically. We know what we're talking about. We don't just be talking crap. You know,
we're pretty on the spot there. You're pretty on the spot. It's like we're talking about. Like we know what we're talking about.
if the audience is like me, if you either have, actually, we probably should have said a spoiler warning for Ruben.
Mm-hmm. But,
I mean,
2016,
bro. I know. But still,
there's some people out there that haven't seen it though. Yeah, yeah.
But nonetheless, if you haven't seen it or you just want like a recap or rewatch it again, just off what Ruben said, because he did a good job of recapping it. So makes me want to watch
word
it again.
For word, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised you wrote down some stuff, but check it out. Keanu 2016, Key and Peele, Songs from Love.
Funnily, like Keanu Reeves actually comes out because there's a scene where Clarence has this like epiphany.
Yeah.
And that's the only scene that Keanu Reeves actually comes out. I was waiting for it. I was like, doesn't this one come out?
Yeah.
I'm like, it'd be funny if he comes out. And he did. And I'm like, oh shit, okay. So they play to the punt.
Just a tumbleweed or something like that?
No, he's a cat. He's a cat in, I don't know, it's weird. I don't know. Like I'm saying, it gets weird. They do a bunch of dumb shit, but it's funny. Like,
one long skit.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, coincidentally, I sent my boys a list of the movies that, you know, give them an idea of some stuff they can watch. Now, on this list was a movie that I mentioned in another episode that I wanted to watch. So I lucked out. So the movie is American Fiction. This movie came, I just saw it today, so it's fresh on the brain. It came out last December 22nd. So it's fairly fresh.
Pretty
new.
Yeah.
I feel like they probably should have stretched it to this month, but hey, you know.
Yeah.
Just off the subject matter would have been perfect. But
yeah.
Hey, I'm just me, you know, I'm nobody.
Right.
What do I know? But nonetheless, let's start off with the Rotten Tomato. These scores is crazy because the tomato meter score is a 94%.
Hold on. What?
The audience score is a 95%.
Huh.
So to say this movie is certified fresh is the understatement.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
This movie, you can't get, that's crazy. And that's, as of right now, I literally just checked that maybe 30 minutes ago. And like I said, this movie's been out for over a month, so.
That's like damn near perfect.
That's pretty good. As far as IMDb, it's at a 7.9 out of 10, which is, again, you know, not as good as Rotten Tomato, but that's still a bragging right. IMDb is pretty hard. Yeah. And then as far as Letterboxd, you got a 3.8.
Yeah.
So between them and IMDb, kind of neck and neck.
Yeah.
But
above average. Above average, I would say.
So we already know we get into it, this movie, man. Yep, so I will give you the synopsis of said movie.
Yep.
Brought to you by IMDb, and it is as follows. A novelist who's fed up with the establishment profiling of Black entertainment uses a pen name to write a book that propels him to the heart of hypocrisy and the madness he claims to disdain. So it's kind of like, basically, he's a writer, right? And he wrote a book or a couple books in the past, but these books are, you know, they never really took off like he wanted them to. So he ended up being a college professor.
Okay.
And meanwhile, it is like a big rave that this book came out, and this book is like the epitome of Black stereotype. It's bad. Like when the author played by Issa Rae, she was like, "There's like, could you read us a passage from the book?" And it's all the Black isms, like just all the stuff. You're like, "Come on, man! Like, did you really? We don't talk that bad. Like, we do, but it's not like that. Come on."
Yeah.
So and he just fed up. He's like, "Man, my writing is good. I use proper grammar. Like, I write about things that people need to know about, like history. And then she come out with this." And he like, "Come on, man." Like, so he on top of that, him being fed up with that, as far as like our portrayal in Hollywood, he going through some family things.
Okay.
Now to say what it is will be to spoil like major plots in this movie. So I won't go there, but Some happens in this movie. One thing I would say right now, that there was a certain choice that made, and I was like, "Come on, man, I was like, the obvious choice, and I was just a little disappointed in that. But you know, it's fine. It's just a little nitpick that I have. But anyway, one night he's at home, he having a couple drinks, He's like, oh, y'all want black stereotype, huh? I'm going to give you black stereotype. Hey. So he writes, you know, he writes this book called My Pathology, but he spelled it ebonically. So he spelled it pathology. Because, you know, black folk, we don't pronounce the TH. We just put it as an F. So it was called My Pathology.
Oh.
And he came up with a surname. I think it was Stag R. Lee. And I know that means something because I feel like he was trying to joke, play on words. Stag R. Lee. I know it is. I just don't know what it is.
Right.
But it just sounds like it's something.
Mm-hmm.
So he writes it. He gives it to his agent. Like, hey, man, here's a book. His agent's like, bro, what's this?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not pitching this. This is, he's like, man, I don't even care. Just pitch it. My point is to rub it in their face. This is what they want.
Right.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. But guess what happened? It blow up like stupid.
Huh.
So now he got people calling him. They want to make movies, and he like, bro, what? he like, are you serious? Huh? Are you serious? Like I don't even want to do this. And his publisher like, man, look, you got family issues. You need the money. Don't act like you don't need this dough, bro. Like,
right.
Just roll with it. So basically, the movie is just him like wrestling with his you know. It's him dealing with the betrayal of black people in Hollywood, man. And then him, him like kind of selling out to you know, get money.
Mm.
And yeah, that's pretty much the basis of the movie. But man,
that sounds pretty deep.
Bro, yeah, like,
that sounds pretty crazy.
It was deep. Like, I got quotables, I'm going to say to y'all in a minute. I was laughing, like literally laughing out loud. It was me. It was two people in the theater, me and this white dude.
Wow.
And we were. I'm looking at him. He laughing like, bro. So it was just a cool little vibe, man.
But
I do want to say that I read an article that people were walking out. I don't know if it's just black, white people, but it's kind of offensive, bro. Like, but it's the point. That's the point of this movie, man. Like to show it like, hey, this is what it is. This is how they treat us in Hollywood.
The rawness.
Like, you got all these good writers, and they're writing, you know, prolific things, and then you got, you know, somebody come out with this crap, and this is what y'all want to watch, this is what y'all want to listen to, this is what y'all want to, like, as far as music, TV, anything, if it's just soaring us in our worst, they love it. So, it just says a lot about that.
That's true, because, like, why do they got to create so many slave movies, man? Like, why? Like, we don't need any remakes, we don't need
I don't need another slave movie, but I do want to say this, if it's a historical movie, I'm okay with that. But just like that one in Will Smith, I know it didn't do really good because, I mean, he came off the slap and
right.
I think people are really jaded with the slave movies now. Yeah. So it was a bad choice for him. I'm sorry, Will. I fucks with you. I'm just saying.
It did bomb.
Yeah, but it's just, you know, but it was a true story. So
right.
I didn't mind. But I didn't watch it either because I wasn't ready for that.
I would rather want like a documentary than like a movie.
That's fair.
I want more historically,
like just a document instead of like a movie of it. That's fair, because you know, movie's gonna, you know, embellish a little bit as well.
Right.
I can understand that. But yeah, the acting in this movie, man. I want to start off by shouting out Jeffrey Wright. Like, I don't know if you guys remember him from he was Commissioner Gordon in the Batman with Robert Pattinson. Just give you a visual of who, if you guys didn't already know who Jeffrey Wright was, I just thought I'd give you that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, his brother was played by Sterling K. Brown. We shout him out because he displayed interest in playing Green Lantern in the DCEU. Remember, I talked about that with you guys?
Right, yes, sir.
Outstanding job.
Mm.
Outstanding job. This dude stays impressing me, man. Like, I think his resume probably like one of the most solid. And like, as far as black actors do, everything he do, like, it's just quality.
I'm guessing for performances, and you'll put A1.
I'm getting there. Then, of course, you got Issa Rae. You know, she played the author of the book. I wish I knew the name of the book. It was some blackism. It was bad. It was bad.
Yeah.
And then, beautiful, obviously, Issa Rae. You already know.
Mm-hmm.
Also, shockingly enough, the next two actresses that I'm mentioning, and we know the stereotype of how black don't crack, but as a black man, I am like, holy crap, man. Like, Tracy Ellis Ross is gorgeous still.
Bro, I have a crush on her so bad, bro.
I don't understand, bro. Like,
this woman.
Do you bathe in calf blood? Like, what? Like, what is this? How?
I love that woman, man.
How? Between her. And then, of course, Mo, you said you've been watching Living Single. Miss Maxine herself is in this movie.
Hey.
Alexander. And she, oh my God.
She's still bad. She's still bad.
How? Bro, I got more lines in my face than she do. How? How? I don't understand. I don't understand, bro.
Is she a butter?
It might be the shea butter, bro. I'm slipping. Let me get my shea butter game up. She's gorgeous, man. And like I say, she did a great job. Just across the board, like Ruben said, just to get it out the way, I don't have no qualms with the acting, bro.
Damn.
Performances, A1.
Damn.
Every last one of them. No problems with that. Just want to go ahead and get that out the way. Now, as far as the direction, I'm sorry about that. Now, this is like a new director. So he's he hasn't really done, to be fair, I think this is his first movie, to be honest. But he has done some television shows. So for this to be his first movie is good. But being that it is his first movie, he didn't take a lot of like creative liberties with certain, like, I don't know. It just felt like your standard point and shoot. I'm not saying that it's bad.
I mean,
it's
his first movie.
That's what I'm saying. But he directed TV. So that's not his first directing. Well, so yeah. I feel like he could. Like, I've seen people.
But I would think directing TVs and movies are way different. To a degree.
Not necessarily. I mean, like I say, I feel like he could have did a little more with that. But what he did was good, man. Like, I can't knock it. But at the same time, I couldn't give it the full score.
Okay.
I did. It just felt like, you know, just as a camera, you guys are acting. So it's fine. But I did give it a 0.75. So it's like, all right. And the story, it's like an adaptive story because it's based off of a novel called Erasure. So,
yeah.
He just pretty much like adapted it into a movie, so I can't really give him too much credit for the story. But he did good from, you know, just translating for our eyes on, like, I didn't read the book, but from what I've seen, I didn't have a problem with this movie at all.
Right.
But, you know, I had to give it like just a half point for that, which is probably not fair, but I may reserve my right to raise that at a later time. But as of right now, fresh out the movie, I feel like a 0.5 is good for me. And then, like I say, the visuals is, like I say, it wasn't really much.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that kind of movie. You know what I mean? It's not no special effects. It's
right.
Not
none
of that. So I had to meet it in the middle there with just a 0.5.
Okay.
And then as far as the score, same thing. It was just, it's not that kind of movie. It's nothing like you got to have a resounding sound here. Or like, some action music here. It's just like, but I will say, it was a jazz, which is different for me because I like a jazz, like a score, which is dope.
I like it.
So I gave it a 0.75 on that.
Okay.
So my total for this movie is a 3.5 out of 5.
Okay.
Now, from what I've said, and then my score don't match because I'm telling you right now, go see this movie. Like, let my score deter you. Just I'm going off the criteria that we said we're going to go off as far as the directing, the story, the performances, the visuals, and the sound.
We already know you're strict on directing.
Everybody know how I am. But that does, don't please listen to me when I tell you go see this movie. If you don't go see it, just stream it 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Buy it. I will strongly say buy it.
Mm-hmm.
You put it in your collection, man. This movie is dope. Like I say, look out for it. Like I say, American Fiction. Good stuff right there. I was highly impressed. It was good. I felt good when I came out of movie theater. It's rare when I come out of movie theater, I just feel, I was in a good mood.
Damn.
It touched me, man. Like, it's really good. And I do want to say too, like the ending, like a lot of movies, like sometimes they can't stick the landing. Perfect landing. He couldn't have done this better. And I don't know if how the book ended it, or if this was creative literally as far as how he wanted to end it himself.
Right.
But either way, yeah, man. This was probably one of the best endings of a movie I've seen.
Chef's kiss.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Based on what you said, I would give it a 3.5 too, because I would say, out of the three of us, you're kind of like the standard when it comes to movies.
Yeah.
As far as like rating wise. So I would give it a 3.5. More off of what he said, what do you think you would give it?
Yeah, I'd probably give it a 3.5, 4.0.
Yeah, I feel like Mo would have given it 4.
I think Mo would give it.
Once you watch it, Mo, we're going to come back to this episode. I'm pretty sure Mo would like it more than me, 100%.
I'm gonna put it down right here, 3.6.
Yeah, put it down to tag this episode because I got a feeling, man.
Initially, we're giving this a 3.6, but like Ryan said, it's subject to change.
No, it might change. Yeah, because I can't wait to watch this again, man. Okay. It's that good. I'll watch it tomorrow. It's that good.
Sometimes you gotta watch movies a couple times before.
before you can really say you watched it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
A couple things you'll miss.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Before I let you say yours, Mo, let me hit y'all with these quotables.
Oh, get him.
Let me hit you with what hit me.
Get him.
To give you some of this, the profoundness of these
give
quotes.
It, brother. Give it.
Because the quote is, I'm like paraphrasing. Because white people think they want the truth, but they don't. They just want to feel absolved.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof. I was like, God.
In other words, but I don't want to say it.
I was like, ooh. Another one. This one was like, damn.
Oh.
Potential is something someone sees in someone they think isn't good enough.
Mm.
Oh, God.
Damn, bro.
Mm. But let me, this is the last one for me and you, Ruben.
Break me down. Break
this
me down,
This is the last
bro.
One. Geniuses are lonely because they can't relate to anyone.
Damn.
Hey.
Bro.
The more
what?
You know, the lonelier you get.
What?
That is shoot, brother. That.
I'm probably one of the most solitary. I'm also, you know, I'm extrovert, but I'm really just, I'm good by myself, bro. Like,
mm-hmm.
I live by myself. Like, people, like, how you live by yourself?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It bothers me. But, you know, yeah. So I thought that was mm-hmm. pretty good. And before, one more thing.
Hey.
I'm watching this movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at Jeffrey Wright.
Oh.
Now, this is a big screen. So I'm getting all Jeffrey Wright.
Yeah.
All up in my peripherals. Uh-huh. All up in here.
Yes, sir.
I'm like, why this man look like somebody?
Hey.
So then I remember that I watched a clip from the person that I figured out who he looked like, or looks like him, I should say, just the other day. I want to say it was yesterday that I watched this clip. Royce the 5'9 shared a clip of Joe Budden. If you look at Joe Budden right now, get your phone out.
I'm looking at it right now.
Look at Joe Budden and pull up a picture of Jeffrey Wright.
Mm-hmm.
It's somewhere in the bloodline, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, it's crazy.
It's in the DNA.
It's crazy. I was tripping. I started laughing in the theater. I'm like, dude, it look like Joe is trying to look like Jeffrey Wright, which is not I want Joe, if this is good to come across Joe Budden, you know, I don't want to think I'm dissing him because it's Jeffrey Wright, bro.
Yeah,
if you can look like somebody, come on, man. It's Jeffrey Wright, bro.
That,
man. Yeah. But I just smiled at that because I was like for the first like 15 minutes, I'm like, who this dude look like? Like, why you just give me some vibes right now? And then once I like it hit me because I said it's a big screen, so you see everything. So I'm like, oh, you're like Joey, man. Joe Budden, they got the same. Like I say, even the I'm talking about the bald head, the beard,
the
skin tone. It's crazy. So I just thought that's funny. But yeah, that's my review of American Fiction. Check it out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Go ahead, Mo, close us out.
Yes, sir. So for me, I actually got lucky. I got Harlem Nights.
Hey.
And I never seen this movie, but I got to tell you, Ryan, you were absolutely correct. This is one of my favorite movies. You know, from now on.
Let's go.
Hey.
Let's go. Man, I mean, it's hard being this good, y'all. It's just.
I don't know, man.
It's just. Yeah, but I do.
So this, just a little like cast on this one, man. Stacked cast. You couldn't be any happier with the cast. You got Richard Pryor, Godfather comedy.
Mm.
Eddie Murphy when he was young. Prime Eddie Murphy. Red Fogg.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that the Godfather looked up to. Crazy. Jasmine Guy.
Yes, sir.
Arsenio Hall.
Yes, sir.
Shaw.
I'm telling you, bro.
Charlie Murphy.
Come on, with you. Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
If you was black in the 80s, you was in this movie.
Mm.
Literally everybody, man.
If you was black. You was black and hot. Black and hot. You was in there.
Yeah, basically, if, like, you was hot. Like, you was on the scene, up and coming, or you just was a friend of Eddie or Richard Pryor or somebody he looked up to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all sarcasm.
Yeah. So, man, start off with direction. I gave it a 1 for direction.
That's
just because I've never seen a movie like this before.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good blend of mob and comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
Richard Pryor, like I was used to seeing him in like comedies movies, like the Superman one where he acts goofy.
Yeah.
Not in this one.
He was a man.
He played the gangster role really good.
Damn.
Yeah.
Classic name.
The story and originality, I give it a 1. just because when I was watching this, I was getting Ocean's 11 vibes, and I was like, where have I seen this before? I was like, wait, did they do it before them? I was like, yeah. Oh man,
yeah,
very, very original, good story. I thought the story was original, and it went good. It wasn't like, you know, like they're doing something and then now they got to go.
Everything
here.
Made but sense. It was perfect pacing. Yes,
yeah.
Beautiful.
Perfect pacing. The visuals, I give it a 1.
Mm-hmm. Come on,
it really made you feel like you were Let's back in 1918. Bro.
Damn,
like, from the costume,
I feel like it's about to be a masterpiece for my boy.
Hold
the on. Music, yes, sir. This is where I got to kind of knock it a little bit.
Okay, it's come on.
The performance.
Okay.
I loved everybody. The only one that I got to nitpick a little bit is Arsenio, man. I feel like he kind of overdid it a little bit. With that fight scene, man.
When you see it, Ruben, you'll know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that, Mo. I'm okay with that.
Oh, okay. So you got to, okay. Okay.
I mean, you're okay with that.
Okay.
That's fair.
Okay. Okay.
I understand.
Score and sound design, I gave it a 1. Music was bumping and went with the time. Like, it was solid. I think they even had a, like, live bands and stuff in some scenes.
Yeah.
My favorite, I was going to ask you guys, I don't know if you guys want to make like a new segment when you guys are watching a movie, but who's your favorite extra in a movie whenever you're watching it? Because I found mine in this movie.
What? I don't know if I have a favorite extra.
Wow.
Yeah, but there's this extra, bro, where they pan out to this, they're in the casino and they have the mariachi and he has the maracas. And
he's hilarious. Got
the whitest smile.
Yes,
he's
sir.
Just shaking it, bro. Ryan knows.
He was getting it. Yeah,
he was my favorite fucking extra in that movie, bro.
That's hilarious. That's one of my friends' favorite scenes too.
No way.
That dude was getting it, bro. For no reason, that was no reason for my man to be having this much fun to be an extra, bro. He should have been like at least another 10 minutes. My man was enjoying his 5 minutes.
He's like, I shouldn't even be in this movie. Man.
Yeah, he was like, this is my last little 5 pieces. That's it. I'm gonna go put it in. Yeah, he did that. That's fair.
Yeah, man, did it. But yeah, if you guys ever have a favorite extra, you guys should definitely point him out.
I'm with
that dude.
He did his thing.
So for my total score, I got 4.5 out of 5.
Oh yeah, yes sir. Yes sir. This is
one of my all-time favorite new classic movies.
I got the chills, man. Hell yeah, Mo.
I'm gonna hit you guys with the IMDb.
Oh, okay.
This one got a 6.1 out of 10.
Okay, so, which is
not bad. No,
personally, that's a little too low, but you know,
whatever.
Yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes, they got 26%.
What?
So, Highway Robbery.
Yeah, didn't do justice. And Letterboxd, they got 3.0.
Now, based on that, Ryan, like, what would your initial score be just off the dome? You could give it one right now.
Well, I think we should go with you first because he's seen it.
Well, I would give it a 4.0. I would give it a 4.0 just because of the actors, but I haven't really seen it.
That's what I'm saying. Right. So I don't know if you can really, because he didn't even give you like the premise of the movie. So you can't really score it yet.
The whole premise.
Okay. Yeah. So you can't even ask Ruben to score it, but I'm with Mo, bro. Like, it's a 4.5.
Okay.
Oh, easily a 4.5.
Nice.
It will never get no lower. If anything, it's probably going to get higher. There's no way I'm dropping this movie lower than a 4.5.
I'll say just on the cast, that's a 4.0 for me.
Yeah, man. Like this just, man, it's just funny. It's actions, everything in there is directed great. Like Mo said, it's just for a movie to come out swinging like that in the 80s, man, it was firing on all cylinders. Like it was nuts. Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, 4.5. Easy.
That's crazy how the score doesn't really relate to what we thinking? What you guys thinking? Right?
I mean, to be fair, at that time, the people probably, you know what I mean. This type of comedy wasn't there, and then that's one thing too. Like, I could have done with all the explicit language. Not you know,
what
they were using. Not like the F bombs. I'm saying, you know, what they were calling, you know, y'all.
Jig.
Yeah, bro. Like, I could have done with all that. I could, you know.
Kind of jigs and stuff,
but I know, man. Like, it's they're going with the times and stuff. So,
yeah.
But I'm like, I could have done all that.
The jive turkeys and the suckers.
yeah. So, this movie starts off in Harlem, 1918, and I got to tell you, just the opening scene in this movie is like, bro, the first five minutes, it just hooks you.
Yeah.
They pan out this old boy. He's trying to get into a club that Richard Pryor owns.
Yeah.
He's in the middle of a bet. And the little boy, his little job, he's a little errand boy, homeless. His whole job is just to go get a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah.
Richard Pryor. And right before they're going to make this bet, he's betting this dude, and he's toothless, bald-headed, toothless. Forget the guy's name. He gets mad. He's like, who the fuck let this kid in here? And Richard Pryor's like, oh, you know, don't worry about it. He's with me. You know? He's like, nah, I don't want this little kid in here. Kid's giving me bad look. He's so he's already going back and forth with Richard Pryor.
Yeah, yeah.
I can see it in my head. Man.
Richard Pryor's like, you see that shit right there? It's my name on there. It's my fucking rules. Throw your fucking, he's like, throw the fucking dice, you know, throw your roll. And he's like, oh, no. He's like, it's bad luck, this and that. Finally, he rolls the dice. He loses. He gets all mad. He tries to stick on Richard Pryor. It's funny because Richard's got like a little gun, you know, he's a little stashed. And then he's trying to grab it, but the little boy gets it, the homeless boy. And then while he's about to stick Richard Pryor, the guy, the little boy shoots him, claps him right in the head, and saves his life. And then ever since then, you know, Richard Pryor like asks him, like, hey, you know, I'm going to take you home. Little boy's like, I ain't got a home, man. You know, he's like, where are your parents? He's like, where's your mom? He's like, dead.
Like,
where's your dad? My daddy dead. And he's like, did you kill him? Bro, just hilarious, bro. Comedy on time. And this is the first 5 minutes, bro. But and then it pans out. It goes 20 years later. That little boy grows up to be Eddie Murphy. You know, so now he's all big and stuff. And Richard Pryor still shows him around. Man, like the rawness in this movie is crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, he's shooting people in the leg, shooting, you know, the females. No, everybody.
It's like a monster movie, bro. Like, it literally is. Like, it was.
Because that's what it is, right? It's a mobster kind of type movie.
Kind of.
With comedy.
Yeah. But it's like you wouldn't expect this level. Like Mo said, you trip out. Like, oh, you laugh at one point. You're like, oh, getting kind of bloody up in here. Hold on.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, there's some scenes in there where I was just watching it and it would remind me of Ryan. When that girl, what was her name? Jasmine Guy. She plays this one chick, Dominique LaRue.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, where is she from, Big Ryan? She's from,
she's Creole, like my ancestor.
Yeah. And everybody's telling Eddie Murphy because Eddie Murphy's trying to get at her, and everybody's like, "Nah, don't talk to her. She's a voodoo bitch. She's gonna put voodoo on you,
bro." Oh, nah,
just laughing, bro, bowling. I was like, "Come on, Ryan."
Yes,
like,
sir. I have my experience with voodoo women.
Yeah. And then, oh man, I want to talk about like the heist because they actually do like an actual heist. The reason why they gotta end up doing a heist is they get pushed by the mob. So the mob tells them you gotta pay a percentage. The percentage ends up being like crazy amount. So then they're like, we're gonna end up leaving town. But before we leave, we're gonna kick these guys in the nuts, you know? So they literally, you know, rob the Italians and stuff, or it looks like the Italians.
Yeah, it's Italian.
And then it's cool because they have the whole boxing ring too, just like Ocean's 11. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that guy, the boxer, is hilarious because he's a boxer.
Yeah.
And he stutters, bro.
Yeah.
Oh,
probably,
man.
One of my funniest. Oh, but I was going to say my funniest scene from that one was, or my funniest bit was the taxi bit.
I know what you're about to say.
He stutters, right?
Hold on.
Hey, Richard.
Hold on.
Richard just whistles and shit, bro.
Damn, man.
Yeah, we gotta watch this movie.
We definitely gonna watch that.
I remember saying when you said you're gonna watch, I said no, because I wanted to watch with both of y'all, man. Cause I already know, man. Especially you, Mo. I already knew where you was gonna be at. But I definitely want to see Ruben's, like, just see his facial expression, see that fool laugh. I'm telling you.
I love Richard Pryor, man. All those cats, bro.
I'll tell you, this movie is hilarious, bro. Like, the stuff that happened there. And it's funny because Mo didn't like the Arsenio. And I get it, but I thought that mess was hilarious. We can definitely watch that here, movie night, whenever, bro. Mo, is it fair to say you wouldn't mind watch this movie again?
Oh, man, I'm gonna watch the movie even without y'all.
Yeah, whenever y'all come over, we can throw on Harlem Nights.
But yeah, very, very strong recommend. I'm going to throw some fun facts for you guys. This was actually Red Fox's last movie. So RIP to him. I guess he was already kind of sick.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, but I guess he was going through some financial stuff too. And Eddie Murphy actually paid for his funeral.
Oh, wow.
So that's kind of cool. And then another one, a sexy one, if you will. Michael Michelle was actually supposed to play Dominique LaRue. I don't know if you heard that one.
Michael Michelle.
Yeah, she was a little baddie.
That name sounds familiar. She could play a Creole. Yeah, I know who that is. Damn, but I didn't know she was out in the 80s, though. That's crazy.
She ended up like a couple scenes, but I guess Eddie Murphy tried to make some advances on her. Allegedly.
Made her uncomfortable. Yeah.
But a lot of people were saying, it might have been a different movie if she would have been in it.
I think Jasmine did good.
She did good.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, I didn't even know that. And like I say, Jasmine Guy was on a high at that time too, coming off the Different World or a Different World. So she was already up there. So if you'd have never told me that, I never would have known. I would just figure they just like, hey, she's doing really good in a Different World. Let's cast her. So
Now, based on what you said, Mo, I would still give it a 4.0. So it would be like a 4.3. So that's weird. That I don't know why it got such a bad rap, but
I think it's longevity, because that's out of the movies we watched, that's the oldest. Right?
Yeah.
2016, I think I believe that movie came out in like, I want to say I was like 7 when that came out. I could be wrong. I think it was 87. Let me look it up. But so now if a movie came out that long ago, then obviously you got more people rating the movie.
1989.
It was 89, so I was so I was probably 8. But yeah, like a lot of people are voted. It kind of went like fluctuate here and there, and the more votes, it seemed like it'd kind of bring it down over the long run. So that makes sense for it to be. Yeah. But to be that low is that's a travesty, bro. I don't know what's going on.
Especially nowadays?
I don't know who's watching the same movie, because I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. That's, that's one of my all-time favorite movies.
So. Hey, that's true, huh?
Yeah. I don't know why it got so low, but.
Man, that's a very good movie. Strong recommend for me and the boys.
We'll get back to y'all what's Ruben watching, then we'll give you our actual score. Just stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, thank you guys for listening. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of TBNP. Like I said, stay tuned in February. It's gonna get good. When we're gonna talk about state of relationships, we're gonna talk about one of my favorite movies, Weird Science. I'm not gonna tell you what exactly we're gonna talk about, but just stay tuned for that. It's gonna be a fun episode. So Just stick around. Of course, you got some Valentine stuff, so we'll get a little lovey-dovey too. You know, we could be romantic if we want to. So just stay tuned, and like I say, just comment, subscribe. We on all them socials once again: Instagram, X, TikTok. We on everything. Just let us know if you saw the movies we saw, and give us some recommendations or your scores. And stick around, y'all. And signing out. This is Ryan.
This is Rue.
And this is Mo.
And we will see you guys next time.